Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Overtime Sports Show with Mike Wood, coming to you live from the greatest city on the planet, Durham, North Carolina, on this, the 27th day of June 2016. Well, thank you so very much for joining us. Linda Van Smith with us also today as co-host, and we have a special guest, and we'll get to that special guest in just a moment. I want to say thank you to all those who tune in today to the Overtime Sports Show on Blab, and that's the video side of things, and watch as we talk with Kathy Reeves of PD Sports Recruiters about recruiting, athletic recruiting, and what you need to actually be recruited. I know that a lot of people think that all I need to do is bounce a basketball or run a football and throw a baseball, but I can tell you what, it's a lot more complicated than that. The first thing you need is grades. The second thing you need is attitude in order to even get recruited, because I'm telling you right now, from social media to just, you know, your overall demeanor, the other coaches' opinions, your coach opinions, the coach actually seeing you plays a big role, because every coach that looks at a player needs that player to plug in a piece of the puzzle to become part of the process towards making a champion. But more important than that, are you going to be able to stand the academic rigors of the school that is looking at you? So the best thing I can tell you young people out there right now is, if you want to play on the collegiate level, whether it's Division 1, 2, 3, NAIA, whatever you want to play, grades first. Make sure you can qualify. Make sure you get in that clearinghouse. Make sure you do your part. And parents, remember this. It is your job to educate and make sure that your kids get an education. It's not the coach's job to run your youngin' down and make sure they get the education. The coach will take it from there when they're under their tutelage, I'm very sure. And I know this as being a coach myself. We'll make sure that all the tools are in place for that kid and wraparound services to be successful at that school. But the basic bottom line starts with you. Their discipline, their study habits, education, everything begins with you. But right now, without further ado, let's bring on the Overtime Hotline Coach Jim Kerner, the head baseball coach at North Carolina Central University. How are you doing this evening, Coach?
I'm doing great, Mike. How you doing? How's everything going?
Oh, it is going great, Coach. Glad to have you on the show. I was just telling Linda earlier today that when you first got to Durham, I think, what, 4 or 5 years ago, and now I think it is, that you were on the Overtime Sports Show. I think your third day at North Carolina Central, you came to the Overtime Sports Show. So welcome back to the Overtime Sports Show.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, I remember that day. Yeah, that was 5 years ago now, probably almost 5 years ago to the month. It's been pretty close to our anniversary.
Yeah, it sure is, isn't it? Because the first thing I did, I joked about, okay, if you found the snack machines in the bathrooms, you've done a great job for the first day. So that's the first thing. Always find those snack machines. Well, Coach, let's get right into it. Let's talk about this season. I mean, this season was a decent season for you. You know, you finished a little bit under 500 at 25-30, but you were 11-13 in the conference. But I think, you know, it's a process. From the day you first walked in until right now, the team has come light years. I mean, you have progressed. You have taken that team where it hadn't been in a very long time, because, as you know, baseball was one of the oldest sports at North Carolina Central. I think the first baseball team there was in 1910 or 1911, right around when the school was founded. I'm sure Kyle would know, because he was probably there taking pictures at the time, writing the news releases. You know, tell us about the progress of the team since you got there about 5 years ago.
I think every year we just got more and more competitive. You know, it's been a really good transition. Even our first year, we did some good things, and you know, we had some talented teams after that. But I really feel this year was probably our most talented team overall, from top to bottom. You know, like you mentioned, we won 25 games. I felt like there was probably opportunity to win some more in there. But if you just look at some of the scores against some of our you know, opponents from some of the bigger conferences. We were, I think we were 5-4 or 5-5 against the Big South Conference this year, which Coastal Carolina is playing for a national championship tonight. And we beat the second place team in that conference 14-1. We beat the fourth place team twice. We swept Longwood. We took 2 out of 3 from UNC Asheville. We had some really good wins, and, you know, we played Duke really competitively. I thought we had them on the ropes there, especially at our ballpark at the end of April. And, you know, we qualified for postseason play again, which was nice, and had a kid drafted as well. So I think all in all, we had a lot to be proud of, and the kids worked really hard this year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I get an opportunity to broadcast some of the games early in the season before I transition over to softball. And one thing, I over the years, I've seen the team progress. At one time, we had to work and shore up our outfield. And then we had to shore up our middle infield. And then we had to shore up, you know, a little bit around, you know, first base and behind the plate. We had to shore that up. But this year, it seems like that your strength really was your defense to a certain degree. I mean, you know, they made errors because they're young kids. I mean, you put pressure. These are, what, 18, 19-year-old kids. You're lucky they don't break down crying sometimes because of the pressure that's put on them. But, you know, they really improved defensively. Our defensive numbers went up, and as the defensive numbers go up, the wins go up. And I know that, like I said, we did, you know, we won 25 games. That's a lot of ball games for most teams. But one of the real strengths I found this year was your pitching. I mean, Vernon, first player taken ever in the draft from North Carolina Central. I mean, you had his arm up there. He could throw it about 130 miles an hour in the dark at midnight. I mean, this kid could throw it. It's like an aspirin coming out of a shotgun. So talk about your pitching staff. I mean, you know, you really improved. Your middle relievers got great. Your long relievers got great. But your starting pitching was good, too.
Yeah, you know, it's been a point of emphasis since I got to Central to try to invest in the pitching staff and to make sure you have enough quality starters and quality bullpen, you know, work to be able to win games. Because as any baseball fan knows, you're going to live and die with the quality of your pitching. And, you know, I felt this year was probably the deepest we've ever been pitching-wise since I've been at Central. We had a couple of guys, Alex Dandridge was named All-Conference as well as Andrew Vernon, and we just had a lot of good depth. And it goes even to our midweek starter, Chris Ginelli, who started most of the year, you know, pitching against the non-conference teams, and the wins and that he had against those teams was remarkable. To be able to pitch a guy like Chris Ginelli on Tuesday and Wednesday just goes to show you how good our guys on the weekend were. And we had a freshman All-American last year, Devin Sweet, who had a very good year, but, you know, he was kind of forced to go to the bullpen just because of the depth of our pitching, and he did very well out of the bullpen. So, you know, it's a point of emphasis. It'll continue to be a point of emphasis, and all in all, I thought our pitchers did a great job of winning us ball games and making us competitive.
Yeah, because one thing I really like, and, you know, I'm an old catcher, so it's one thing that I really like is I noticed with your pitching staff, they had a bit of a mean streak in them because I remember, I think it was Norfolk State. For some strange reason, when Vernon was up on the mound, the batter decided that he wanted to do the thing you never do to a pitcher. He decided he was going to dig in his cleats. The ultimate disrespect to a pitcher. Now, pitchers these days, the young kids, they probably don't realize it as much as us old hats do. That was just a sign of disrespect, like, what you going to do now? That was just one of those unwritten baseball rules that we always talk about. And what I liked about Vernon was he showed them exactly what they were going to do. And I think now they call it the running man challenge. Either you run man or the ambulance will take you away. That kind of thing. So I like the way he used to come inside and work it if you want to do something like that. Another thing, too, your bets improved 1 through 5. I noticed that, you know, in the past we've had trouble, you know, we've had good leadoff hitters, but we had trouble getting the ball into play, which is what you want your leadoff batter to do. You know, whether it's a ninth hole that's going to be your secondary leadoff or your actual leadoff at number one in the one hole. But I noticed that you improved as far as offensively, what I used to call the power company. You know, you had, you know, Ortiz, Dye was in there, you know, Triplett was in there, those guys were in there, all those guys were just ripping the cover off the ball. Talk about how the hitting has improved over the past, you know, 4 to 5 years. I really see an improvement.
Yeah, no, this year was our best offensive team we've had since I've been here. We had the most doubles. We broke the school record for home runs this year. And, you know, guys really, you know, bought into what we were trying to do hitting philosophy-wise and with our approach, trying to be aggressive and, you know, maintain bat speed and swing with authority and aggressiveness. And it showed. You know, we had three junior college transfers come in, and Ellington Hopkins, Tom Prosper, and Zach Marzell, who were all three all-conference players that really provided, you know, some great offensive production for us. And, you know, and that goes along with what Carlos did for us. And, boy, and Conrad Kowalczyk, even behind the plate with 10 home runs and 13 doubles. And Jamie Dye had a great year as a senior this year, batting, you know, 320 or 330 with some big hits, as he always seems to come up with. So, you know, all in all, I thought it was our deepest team offensively. And, obviously, I think the numbers supported that. We did a pretty good job swinging the bats.
Yeah, and I tell you, another thing that I know you worked on, and maybe you can talk about this too, is as the kids progress through, I mean, when they come in as a freshman, they got heads full of mush. You got to sit there and mold that brain into the Eagle way of doing things. And what I noticed the progression over the years is the fact you work with them and you talk with them enough that their baseball IQ got better. Not only do you have to physically play the game, you have to mentally play the game, because baseball is a lot of mental work. You know, it's not a lot of physical work in baseball. It's just a lot of mental work and learning how to do things the right way, fundamentally sound. Baseball is a very cruel sport. It will expose you. Baseball will leave you out there. It's a team sport that will expose you. And how do you go about increasing their baseball acumen, their knowledge, how you go about making sure they know how to do things basically the Eagle way?
You know, a lot of it's repetition. You know, a lot of it's telling them, you know, baseball is a game of opportunity. You have to be prepared for your opportunity. Like, as you mentioned, you know, it's not the type of action that's in basketball or football. You might go a whole game and not get a ground ball, but when you do, you need to be ready. And, you know, the same thing up at the plate. You get 3-4 at-bats, and you might have, you know, 3-4 swings during the course of a game to make an impact. So, you know, we train that type of way. We'll do drills that prepare our mental toughness and try to exhaust us mentally and physically to see if we can be prepared for those moments. And I think it's a combination of all those things. Repetition is also very important. We scrimmage quite a bit. We play quite a bit. And when you have a guy in the program for 3 or 4 years, you know, it helps. You know, they're used to the way you do things and the things that are preached and constantly stressed. And, you know, and by the time they're juniors and seniors, as you know, and I think Jamie Dye is a great example of that. Very talented individual, and, you know, everything kind of fell into place for him this year. He caught on to things, and he really realized his potential as a senior.
Yeah, I can tell you from experience, when you're up there and you're on a hitting streak, and I know when you played, it was the same way, that when that baseball comes at you and you're on a hitting streak, it looks like a daggone softball. It's unbelievable how big, and you slow things down. I learned in baseball that you have to slow things down in order to make it work. And like you said, that just comes with repetition. You hear pro football quarterbacks talk about it all the time is, you know, everything on the field is running at like a second here, a second there. But then you also slow things down so you can see the baseball. Is that something that, I mean, when you talk to the player, how can I say this? How can I phrase this question? How do you work on, oh, if a kid's in a hitting, okay, hitting, betting, how do you work with the kids on their betting? Do y'all go with the video and then try to work on a little quirks in their swing, or do you let them keep their quirks and then just kind of mold it from there? In other words, you have a guy, remember back in the old days when they had the submarine pitchers, and you would look at that submarine pitcher and say, oh, my God, he's tearing his arm, all the crap, but it's working for him. Okay, so you don't want to change the mechanics too much. So how do you go out doing that?
You know, that's a great question, and I think everybody's a little different. Everybody learns a little different. Everybody processes information a little different. Everybody's body works a little different. So I think you have to be flexible with each person that you're working with, and you know, it's not always going to be a cookie cutter style. What I like to tell our guys is, for you know, you have the mechanical, you have the mental, you have the physical, and you have the visual. And all four components are used during every single swing, some more than others, but all four of them are important. And you try to put a little bit of emphasis on all four aspects. And, you know, for some guys, maybe it's more of a visual thing. For other guys, maybe it's more of a mechanical thing, and so on and so forth. So I think it's about finding the right combination for each player and letting them find and feel what's going to work for them with the coach's input and, you know, with some knowledge. But it's definitely a two-way street. I don't think you can dictate, hey, this is how you're going to swing. I think you have to find the comfort zone for each player.
Right, yeah, because, the worst thing in the world, I've seen a lot of young coaches do that, is like, oh, son, that swing is all screwed up. Let's do this. Wait a minute. You know, if the kid's hitting 435 with that swing, let's just perfect on what he's doing. You know, let's change what he's doing, because baseball is one of those sports that it really does depend on which way the ball bounces. It is a game of centimeters and millimeters and inches. It is just one of those games where just a little bit here and a little bit there will screw you up completely, and it's just something you really don't want to change. Linda, you have some questions for the coach.
I do, and these are personal questions. How are you, Coach Kern, tonight?
Great. Thank you. Very well. Thank you.
That's good. I see that you're a retired Major League Baseball pitcher and a three-time American League All-Star, which is fantastic. When did you know you were ready for the big league? More or less, when did you feel that baseball was a sport for you?
Ma'am, first of all, I never played in the big leagues, so that is not me. But as far as baseball being the sport for me, I knew when I was very, very young that I wanted to play, from when my father started taking me to games back in Buffalo, New York. We went to the minor league games, and, you know, we got involved. He got us, me and my brother, involved at a very young age. And we just had that passion right from the time that he put a ball in our hand, and, you know, through college and now my coaching career. So it's just been a great experience right along. And even when I was playing in college, I knew that I wanted to be in the coaching profession and involved in the game at any way I could possibly be.
Okay, sorry, I was looking at the wrong bio. My bad.
That's okay.
Another
question.
Hey, I guarantee you, he would love one of those paychecks in the big leagues. I tell you that.
I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So I have one more question. What's different today than it was when you first started out as a player? Or is it pretty much the same?
No, you know, it is different.
Back in the day.
Yeah, there's more travel ball. There's more exposure for kids these days. There's more opportunity to play. When I was playing, you know, you played your, you know, 14 to 18 game high school season, and you played your 15 Legion games, and, you know, you were pretty much done. And now you have people playing all summer, all fall, even some kids playing in the wintertime. It just seems like it's just grown so much in exposure and popularity. College baseball's exposure has increased tremendously from when I was playing, and the games are on ESPN and different networks now. And it just seems like, There's more excitement at the younger levels for baseball.
Hey, what's the off-season practice schedule look like?
Yeah, we go pretty much year-round. You know, in the fall, we're in the weight room quite a bit, probably 4 or 5 days a week, and then we're practicing and inter-squadding and really trying to develop players. It's more of a player development phase, and, you know, we're also trying to establish our depth charts and see what we have, positionally, and where we're going to be thinking about putting guys in the spring. And in the summer times, we have a lot of our guys playing in these summer collegiate leagues. We have players in all parts of the country, you know, competing at a high level, trying to increase their skill and come back to us better players.
Well, Coach, that brings me to a point, too. I remember reading an article where they were talking about at HBCUs and everywhere around the country, just not really limited to HBCUs, that there are not more minority baseball players that are really, you know, picking up the bat and going out there swinging. I mean, it seems like that is dwindling, the number of players. I know when I was growing up, it was baseball and football, man. It was just like, it was almost like when I was born on this earth, I was obligated to play both. I mean, it was like I really was a student of both of those games, and I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed baseball more, I think, because it's just something about – I don't think people understand about playing on that fresh grass and that beautiful blue sky. It's just something about baseball. But why do you think there's just fewer and fewer and fewer minorities in baseball? I know that – when you go out and recruit, if you're like me, you don't care what a kid looks like. If he can play, he can play. If he can do the work at North Carolina Central, the school work, he can do the work. I don't really care about that. But it just seems like there's more or less minorities playing and are coaching in college baseball, pro baseball, even in high school. You have very few in high school. So what do you think the reason for that is?
You know, Mike, that's a great question. And from a more minority standpoint, I 100% agree with you. The numbers are dwindling, and I don't, and again, this is my personal opinion from being involved in this for a little while now, I don't know it's just one thing. I don't know if you can say, hey, this is the one reason why. I think there's a multitude of reasons, and they all contribute to a bigger problem. I know Major League Baseball is trying to promote inner city baseball and provide opportunities, but and I think they do, and I question the follow-up. You know, I think we have events that promote minority baseball for minorities, but I don't know if the follow-up is necessarily where it needs to be to continue to create and maintain the excitement level. And I don't want to pick on anybody, any teams in particular, but, you know, certain teams, they'll stage – you know, one day or 2 day events and create a lot of hoopla for lack of a better word about that event and a lot of publicity, and it'll draw, you know, for the event. But then after that, great. Who's in place to coach these kids? Who's in place to really develop them? Who's in place to really, you know, allow that initially to grow? And I think that's where it's lacking with some of this professional baseball and their support for the inner city youth leagues and the minority players in general. You know, I think basketball has become a lot more popular. The NBA has done a tremendous job marketing their product. It's an exciting game. It's a fast game. You know, my son watches it and enjoys it and plays it. And I think it's pulling some of our better athletes off the baseball field because of the job the NBA does, you know, marketing their product. There's more, you see more freedom in the way basketball is. The players have a little more personality in what they're allowed to do. You know, baseball is still a very traditional game and has very traditional, I guess, set of values that teams don't stray from. You know, the New York Yankees, for an example, you still can't have facial hair. And, you know, this is something that today's young kids don't like. You know, they want that individualism. You know, this new millennium, you know, generation that we're in is, you know, they want that independence. And I don't think, I think, like I said, there's multiple reasons why, and all facets need to be explored to make sure those numbers are better, because we're missing out on some tremendous athletes.
I know, you know, I've been, you know, thinking for a long time, over this, you know, question, even, like I say, back in my old coaching days, way back when, how we could do this. And, you know, I like the guy who used to be at what's the St. Louis Cardinals, was it Whitey Herzog, with the manager, I think that's who it was. He had this idea, which was really, it really worked out well, that you would have something like training academies. Now, I'm not talking about like that ING mess they got down in Florida where you send your kid there, it's like a boarding school, and it fakes to be a school to get the kid. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about providing an atmosphere in which the kids can come in and actually train how to play the game. In other words, it's almost like spring training, and you have several fields. You have training facilities. You got betting cages. You have all the bells and whistles that you need. And these kids come in and work at their craft, and you have set times to bring them in. And they play games. They scrimmage each other. They take the, you know, practical applications, put them on the field, and they just learn from their experience, and that increases the love of the game, because the better you are at something, the more you're going to love it. The more repetition, the better you're going to be. The more of a controlled environment, the more disciplined it's going to be. It's not going to be haphazard, run around, you know, do this, do that. And you have this constant spring training going on. And eventually, you're going to start turning out some pretty good products, because they're going to be coming in learning how to play the game from qualified, remember I said that word, qualified, bona fide coaches who actually know what they're doing. I mean, right here in the Durham-Raleigh area, I mean, look, we have North Carolina Central, we have Duke, we have you know, UNC, we have all these other schools around here that I know NCAA rules bar a whole lot of stuff they can do with high school kids. But you can catch them at the younger ages before they get to high school and work with them, and, you know, little leaguers, pony leaguers, and work with them and, you know, improve their skills, which is going to eventually trickle up or down, however you look at it, to you. Because now they know you. They know Coach Kerner. They say, hey, I know Coach Kerner. Let's go play at Central. Or I know, you know, Coach Fox. Let's go to this. And it increases your visibility in the community. And also they're going to get some good quality coaching. I would just love to see that. We have enough money around here to do it. We, goodness knows, we have enough land in this area to do it. So it's just something that, you know, I've been kind of keeping in the back of my mind, is we need to promote something like that. There's enough basketball camps around. Every Saturday, every Sunday, somewhere in Durham, there's a basketball camp, 10, 12, 15. Mm-hmm. But there's not a baseball camp anywhere. You know what I'm saying? They'll have them every now and then. Yeah, but there's not baseball camps. We're not creating that excitement to say, okay, I want to play baseball. You know, get an indoor facility, because it rains a lot. Get an indoor facility. But I know it costs money. But that's just something that I was, you know, I've been kind of churning around now for years, because we've got to do something. Our sport is, I'm not going to say it's drying up, but it's not as diverse as maybe it should be. And diversity.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah, and diversity is going to keep it strong. And so,
you know what's, just to interject, you know what is crazy? You know, these training academies exist in Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic and in Venezuela. Major League Baseball invests a ton of money into these foreign countries to develop baseball players, just in the way that you're talking about. At a very young age, they have them go to school and they train and they're on the baseball field. And well, what's funny is there's none of those, and you don't have any of those academies in the United States. And you know, and that's why you see more Latino players in the minor leagues now in Major League Baseball, because Major League Baseball is spending money in these other countries to start helping the 14, 13, 12, 15, 16, 17-year-olds to become better at the sport.
Mike, let me jump in with that. You know, at my school, all the minority students play football and basketball. Nobody, none of them play lacrosse, baseball, softball. They just don't go out. They just don't. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. But, yeah, I do. I think it's coaching. I know when I was doing coach volleyball, I had a lot of black players. You have to go out. And what I did, and kind of, you know, nudge the minority kids, come on, you know, play this sport. And then they got to like it. At first they were, you know, kind of unsure. But I think that's what you have to do. You know, if you want them to play the sport, you have to kind of, you know, go out there and kind of recruit yourself, you know, because they're not going to go. They just gravitate to the football and basketball.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand, because
crazy.
Yeah, I love baseball. I didn't understand it. I mean, you know, Linda and I are from the same area of the world, and you know that we just, you know, we were almost obligated from birth to play in high school. We were going to play for Murfreesboro High School. I mean, that was just going to happen. I mean, I don't care what else happened in life. That was what we aimed for. To get on that field and start, you know, that's what we did, you know, and kids see, well, we also, there's a lot more to do now than it was then. I mean, what we have to do, get up, prime the back of throw watermelons, go out there and play baseball. So, you know, it's one of those things. But, you know, that's just the way it was. Well, Coach Kerner, thank you so much for appearing on the Overtime Sports Show. It's been an honor once again to have you on. I look forward to next season. I really do, because I think that we're going to have us a banner year next year. Not that this year was bad. We made it to the tournament. We did, you know, did lose in the tournament. That's okay. We made it to the tournament. And, you know, you've taken them to the tournament now a couple of times, and that hasn't been done in the what I call the modern era of NCCU baseball, and especially since we've gone to Division One. And, so I look forward to, next season, and look forward to the good things coming. And you're doing a great job, and please keep it up. And, hey, you know me. I back NCCU all the way. I'm there every day, all the way, every game.
Yes, you are, Mike, and I appreciate being on the show. And I think next year is going to be a great year, and I'm looking forward to getting started.
Yeah, isn't it something? When the season's over, you sit there and you say, God, I'm so tired. You get 2 hours of sleep and say, okay, what's next? And then you're ready to go. You're ready to go again. That's what baseball is about. Well, Coach, thank you so very much for appearing on the show, and we'll talk to you probably later on next year.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Okay. Have a good season,
all right.
Coach.
That was Coach Jim Kerner, the head baseball coach at North Carolina Central University, by the way, the greatest university on the planet, as he was talking about this season and moving on into next season. And he has done a yeoman's job there at North Carolina Central, and we wish him the best of luck. Well, Linda, tomorrow night we have Coach Veronica Wiggins, the head softball coach at FAMU. She's going to be on talking about her championship run this year. And, you know, it wasn't easy for FAMU this year. They did have a few bumps in the road, but they straightened it out, and they made the crooked area straight, and they became MEAC champions and moved on to the first round of the NCAA. But the great thing about it was, when they went in the first round of the NCAA, they stayed right there in Tallahassee, so they didn't have to go far, just down the road a piece. As a matter of fact, to play Florida State, and it's, what, about a two-minute drive from their campus to Florida State, so that was a long road trip for them. But I just want to say thank you once again to Jim Kerner. Thank you, Linda, for appearing on the show tonight as guest host, and tomorrow night we'll be right back here, 6:30, right here on the Overtime Sports Show. Tell everybody you know, tell them tune in tomorrow night, Veronica Wiggins, the head softball coach at FAMU. Until tomorrow, 6:30, be good, everybody.